In complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us, that he may open up to us the sacred truth of his holy word. I'd ask your prayerful attention by looking at a verse we find in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19 and verse 21. The book of Proverbs, chapter 19 and verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Dear friends, put very, very simply, that what we would have done in accordance with our own will not come to pass if it is not the Lord's will. His will is not our will. His thoughts are not our thoughts. In our own hearts, there are many devices. That word devices there means plans, schemes, means of fulfilling our own earthly desires and will. And I'm sure we're all united in that this afternoon. Yes, we're of this earth, born of this earth. We're earthy, we have an earthly mind. And our hearts generate within us that which we would desire to happen and that which we would desire to do. By nature we seek great things for ourselves. And dear friends, there's nothing wrong with that, providing it is of the Lord's will. Oh dear friends, how often perhaps we conduct ourselves without a true attitude of prayer. This text very closely aligns with the text we had this morning in David's desire when he prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways, know my thoughts, sorry, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." For there are many devices in a man's heart, and David knew that, didn't he? We looked at various examples of that this morning. And dear friends, well, it was through the Lord's mercies. Oh, that his ways did not prevail. They did not succeed. But the Lord guided him, corrected him, ordained him, directed him in the way that he should go. And in the end of his days, David could only say, "Oh, although my house be not so with God." Oh, he was still a sinner in his own heart, by the flesh, by his nature. "Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant." Well, dear friends, that ties in with our verse here, doesn't it? There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Dear friends, the counsel of the Lord, his mercy and grace, pardoning love to his people. Oh, dear friends, if he was not so, none of us would be of any use being here this afternoon. How we need, don't we, the counsel the counsel of the Lord to prevail upon us within us. The counsel of the Lord that is his word and his direction, his teaching. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit to direct us into the way of truth, which is faith, belief in Jesus Christ, confessing our sins. Oh, dear friends, we have many things in our earthly life you children do at school, and as you grow up, there's many things that comes into your mind, what you want to do and what you would plan, and even day by day at home, your heart and your mind works, doesn't it, as what is to be your own will. And as you grow, that heart won't change. It only perhaps gets stronger and stronger. But we need correction, don't we? When we're children, we need correction growing up. We need to be taught what is right and what is wrong. And being taught what is right and what is wrong, to hold to what is right, to cast aside what is wrong. And so it is in the things of God. We have his word, we have his holy word. We need to be taught. And our own hearts won't teach us not to act upon the word of God. Because, dear friends, it has to be acted upon by faith if we're to trust in the Lord at all times. To claim his counsel and his direction and his word better than that of our own. Oh, how we grow up, don't we? And we have to thank the Lord for intelligence. We have to thank him for our own intellect, our reasoning powers. We have to thank him for our health and strength to do so many things. And yes, in a natural sense, to prosper our way. There's nothing wrong in earthly prosperity when it's in accordance with the word of God. But how often do we lean to our own understanding? And we do not acknowledge him. How often do we conduct ourselves continually day by day, and there's very little thought of committing our way unto him and trusting in him for him to bring to pass that which is of his own will. Oh, the hymn, reasonable, turn my will to thine. Dear friends, Proverbs, as an earlier chapter, I think it's chapter 16. A man's heart deviseth his way. And we do, don't we? But the Lord directeth his steps. The Lord directeth his steps. That means, dear friends, the Lord will have the last word. The Lord will control things, that for his own people, it will be for their good, their spiritual good. Oh, how solemn to be left outside this direction of the Lord, just to be left to go our own way throughout our lives. In the end of our days, all we shall be able to do is claim what we have done. And there'll be many things that we shall claim we've done which have been good and right and profitable and beneficial for us and to others. But there's been no submission to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. There's been no submission which has brought us to confess our sins, to acknowledge our vileness before a holy God. Dear friends, if it wasn't for the electing love of God, none of us would be called by grace, would we? Oh, we can learn the scriptures with our heads, in our minds, and we can be doctors of divinity and priests of the high churches. But if we have no instruction through the grace of God and of Christ within our hearts. We are bankrupt sinners. We're not redeemed. We're in Satan's grasp. Our hearts are still the same as they were when we were born, in sin and desperately wicked. They've kept us. They've kept us from the knowledge of his grace. The absence of our ability to fall before him, confessing our sins. That's a solemn word of Isaiah, isn't it? Where so many will be left blind to the truth, deaf to the truth. But a remnant shall be saved. Those chosen in eternity past. But, dear friends, those chosen in eternity past to be one with Jesus, they are sinners as well. In the flesh, there's no difference. And as with David this morning, oh, he was no different in the flesh to anyone else, was he? Those murderous desires, those lusts of his flesh, the pride of his heart, the confession of his iniquities, how great they were. Oh, dear friends, what do you say concerning yourself? What do I say concerning myself? Do I try to lift myself, and do you lift yourselves up above others? Oh, David need to be taught, didn't he? David had the witness of the Spirit of God, that in and of himself he was a sinner. And he could not rule his heart. He could not overrule those desires that were within him. They had to be performed. How different do you find them? Your own heart and your own thoughts, they begin to influence your words, and you have to say these things, irrespective of what the consequence may be. You have to do these things, irrespective of what the consequence may be, to satisfy your will, to satisfy your pride, and so forth. Oh, what sinners we are, aren't we? David had to pray, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And what a mercy it does for his people. The counsel of the Lord, it shall stand. You know, we have a number of these examples in the scripture which are for our learning. Even David himself. Dear friends, there was many counsels, there were many devices in his heart, weren't there? You know, one of those devices in his heart was unbelief. The casting aside, or we might say, in effect, it was still there, his faith, given of God. But the application of it, for a time, was lost. Yes, he was in a hard case. He was fleeing from Saul. He was in the wilderness. Saul came out to him, two, three, four times, to slay him. And David said, "I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul. I shall one day perish." But had not the Lord spoken to him that he would be king of Israel? Had he not been anointed by Samuel with that intent? It didn't happen immediately. The time had to be awaited. And it was going to be a time of trouble for David, chased by Saul to take his life. And the Lord had told David to be in the wilderness of Judea. And in the wilderness of Judea, David said, "I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul." Oh, where was his faith? It was greatly tried, wasn't it? That it came to such a state that it was not in exercise. You know, dear friends, don't throw any stones at David. Now, often that can be our case. Oh, we have a trouble, we have a difficulty. We have a sickness. We have trouble in a family, in a church, in a business, in whatever it may be. And we cannot wait. We must take the matter in our own hands. Even though the word of the Lord says something completely different. And you cannot trust in him at all times. You cannot plead with him his precious promises and his word. Oh, dear friends, you know your cases and the effects it has upon your hearts. And you take the matter in your own hands. Oh, I will do this because that's going to relieve me of my trouble, of my difficulties and distresses, my tribulation, whatever it may be. You lean to your own understanding. And you do not acknowledge the Lord. Now, dear friends, in earthly wisdom, David was doing that which was good. Because he was going to the land, going into the back into the land of the Philistines, the enemies of Saul. He knew Saul would not chase him there. Or there was deliverance. Dear friends, we do not read that David prayed, do we? He sought his own deliverance. And dear friends, in seeking his own deliverance, at first it went well. The king of Gath gave him a city, Ziklag. David dwelt there with all his people, with his wives. And there he went out and fought with the Amalekites and destroyed many of the enemies of the Lord's people. Oh, what a wise decision he'd taken. How good it was that he had done that rather than remaining in that terrible wilderness under the threat of Saul. But dear friends, it wasn't the Lord's will, sir. There was many devices in the mind of David and in the heart of David. But dear friends, the counsel of the Lord was to stand. David was to be brought back dependent, completely dependent and submissive to his God. That's what the Lord, how the Lord works his counsel, isn't it, of his will? To keep his people dependent upon him, to give him all the honour and all the glory, in spite of what we may be doing and saying and conducting ourselves. Yes, it went on for a time, we're not told how many years maybe. And David went even further. Through his friendship now with the Philistines and the king, he even offered himself to go and fight with them against Saul and against his own people. Oh, dear friends, you know, when we're led in our own way, by accordance in our own will, there seems to be no bottom of how deep we can go in our sinfulness, can we? Led by our own hearts, many of these devices in our own hearts. Why David thought that was going to be good for him, I do not know. Did he think by his own power he'd got to destroy Saul with the Philistines and so be made king of Israel? The counsel of the Lord, that would stand. He could not fulfill the promise of God by his own power. No, it was the Lord's influence upon those lords of the Philistines which sent David back and his men. And when they came back, Ziklag was burnt with fire. They lost everything. They did not know if their loved ones were alive, did they? And David's men spoke of stoning him. He got no power against all those, had he? Got no power against all those 500 men. It wouldn't take long for David now to die. And he would die in his sin. Oh, there's many devices, dear friends, and the heart in man's heart. But David, being a child of God, turned to the one alone who could help him, in the midst of his sin, in the midst of his lack of faith, in the midst of his departing. He called for the priest who was there to and offered a prayer through him. What shall I do? Shall I chase after these who have destroyed this city? Shall I gain the victory? Shall I recover what I've lost? David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And dear friends, that was how David's mind and heart was changed about. What a solemn chastening it was. The loss of everything, seemingly so. But the Lord was gracious. The Lord's counsel would stand. Yes, David would gain all that he'd lost, and even more besides. Saul would be slain by the Philistines, yes, not by David. David would have to put his hand to it at all. And when David came to be king, he could see it was only through the mercy and grace of God that had brought him there, that saved his life, that the promise of God himself would be fulfilled. Or do you see how the Lord turns about our wills to fulfill his own counsel, to fill his own will, to fill his own purpose? Dear friends, we are sinners. No wonder David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." We're so prone to sin and disobedience, wasn't it? Jonah was a prophet of the Lord. Or we read how in the days of Jeroboam the second in Israel, he prophesied and the prophecy came true and he was honoured. But when the Lord said, go to Nineveh, the devices of his own heart was disobedience. This wasn't of his own will. And so he made his plans and he made his schemes. Oh, he would go away from Israel. He would go away from the presence of God. Oh, what a deceived man he was. That God only dwelt in the land of Israel. He got the money. He went down to the sea coast. He found a ship going across the Mediterranean to Tarshish, the lands far off, and got the money, paid the price, went down and comforted himself and the body of the ship and fell asleep. All was going well for him. What a good decision he'd taken. Now he would be at rest. But dear friends, the counsel of the Lord, that prevailed, didn't it? Oh, the Lord sent that great storm of wind and waves and upon this Mediterranean Sea. And those of the boat feared they would be drowned. Yes. They sought by lot in their way to see upon whose purpose this great storm had come upon them. They had never seen a storm like this before. And through God's direction it fell upon Jonah. And he told them who he was, a prophet of the Lord. He believed in God who made heaven and earth. And this was his power. How shall we be delivered from it? They said, well, throw me into the sea. Throw me into God's wrath. Go and throw me into the means of God's wrath and the sea will be calm unto you. I deserve to die for my sins. Oh, dear friends, what a chastening. But he brought Jonah humbly, didn't he? To acknowledge God. God who in mercy, prepared that great fish to swallow up Jonah. It was sure and certain death when they throwed him in. The weeds wrapped about his head down to the bottom of the mountains. But, dear friends, the Lord is merciful to his people. In spite of their great sin, the act of their unbelief, he provided that safety in the dreadful place of the whale's belly. Oh, what a dreadful, dark, foreboding place that must have been. But there Jonah was brought to prayer. Out of the belly of hell, he said, the grave, I have cried unto thee, and the Lord heard me. The Lord knows how to restore his people. As David said, he restoreth my soul, and leadeth me into the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Oh, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Dear friends, the Lord knows how to bring us back when we forsake his way. What a mercy. But all that path, dear friends, may be very grievous. Are you disobedient today? How's your heart and mind this afternoon? Are you deliberately going away which does not acknowledge the Lord or obedient to his will and his word? Then, dear friends, don't be surprised if the Lord's hand rises against you solemnly to bring you to where you will obey his voice. You will honour him as the Lord of all. You will acknowledge, oh, you're vile in his sight. And you will plead for his mercy and desire to walk in his ways. That's what Jonah did, didn't he? The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And he obeyed. But what a pathway. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. I read that portion in the first book of Samuel regarding Israel. Now, dear friends, there was prayer. There was a prayerful desire. They prayed, although it was to Samuel, they prayed more than once through Samuel that they be given a king. Perhaps it wasn't directly to God. Dear friends, they had just been delivered from the Philistines. Samuel had called them all together to Mizpah. And between Mizpah and Shen, they had forsaken the Lord, they served Baalim and Ashtaroth. And there they put those things aside and they said, we have sinned. Like the people before them in the time of the judges, when many are so often they did what was right in their own eyes, and the Lord rose up against them because of their sin. But as they cried unto the Lord for his mercy, so he gave them a deliverer, one of the judges. And here was Samuel, given unto them, and he prayed for them. He offered a sacrifice, a lamb, as a peace offering, a sin offering. And the Philistines came again, didn't they? They saw Israel gathered together. They thought they were going to fight against Philistines, under whose control they were. And as Samuel prayed, the Lord thundered upon the Philistines. And he brought them to nothing. And the Israelites, in their physical weakness, were able to chase them and slaughter them into all the cities and gain many more of the cities they'd lost. But now, after they'd returned to relative peace, all the days of Samuel, they said, give us a king. Let us be like the nations round about us. The Philistines have their king. The Ammonites have their king. The Syrians have their king. We want a king. Oh, dear friends, how often we have to be careful, don't we, of being influenced by the ways of this world and of unbelievers round about us. There was wisdom, natural wisdom, in wanting a king. But they lent to their own understanding. They did not acknowledge, oh, the mercy and the power of God that had been to them until that time. Samuel pleaded with the Lord. And the Lord said, they have not rejected thee, Samuel. They've rejected me. They've rejected me. Oh, no, dear friends, when we look back over our lives, perhaps we can see how the good hand of the Lord has led and guided us at times in difficulties and troubles in the past. And what does the hymn writer say? He that hath helped us hitherto shall help us all our journey through. But then we come into perhaps changed circumstances, as they do change in the world around us. We live in what's called a modern days compared to days of our forefathers. And many new things come to pass, many new things in way of technology and material things. And oh, we can see the benefit of this, the benefit of that. And we can turn to them and depend upon them more than we should. We depend upon them more than upon our God. You've heard me say about that dear woman who, within the first early days of the mobile phone, was overheard saying to a friend, "Oh, when I'm driving down the motorway at night, I don't know what I'd do without my mobile phone. In case she broke down, in case she had an accident, in case she got into trouble." Dear friends, was that a turning aside, tempted to depend upon the earthly technology more than the way of God? Oh, she was a gracious woman, but how easily we can be tempted, lead to our understanding and forget a gracious God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, not anybody else, in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting, looking unto Jesus, author, finisher of our faith, praying to him at all times, trusting in him at all times. Oh, the Israelites didn't, did they? And God sent, although God gave them their answer, he did set up a king. He did give them Saul through Samuel. He showed Samuel who would be king. This Saul, the son of Kish, who was head and shoulders above all the others. And he did fight that first battle with the Ammonites who'd come against Jabesh-Gilead. And he destroyed the Ammonites, and all Israel rejoiced. Everything was going smoothly and well. But dear friends, it didn't continue, because they did not give God the glory. They gave the glory to their earthly king. Oh, what did Samuel say? Regarding their conduct, that if ye shall follow the Lord your God, then all will be well. But if ye depart, oh, only fear the Lord and serve him with all thine heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. You know, dear friends, there's a very solemn lesson there, isn't there? Asking, as it were, of God something that we have need of for our own earthly good. And when that earthly good comes to us, we depend upon that earthly thing more than we do upon God. And when we've used it for our benefit, we bless the means and not the giver. Oh, dear friends, how we need our hearts searching out, don't we? For these are the sins of us, his people. We have these evil hearts within us. And it's not to the glory of God. But if ye shall still do wickedly, determined to do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both of ye and your king. And they were, by the Philistines, when Saul was killed. And the Philistines took control for a time of Israel, until David, in accordance with the Lord's will, was appointed king, and then he delivered Israel from the power of the Philistines. His counsel shall stand, you see. Oh, God moves in a mysterious way. Well, my mind's just gone to Israel in the very early days, coming out of Egypt. They asked of Moses, well, through Moses they were asking of God for flesh to eat. They loathed that manna which was given to them daily in the wilderness. And, oh, the Lord gave them much flesh to eat. The quails came up in their abundance. But he sent leanness into their soul. And whilst they were yet eating, so the plague went within them. Oh, they were lusting after just the good of their flesh and rejected that which the Lord had provided for them. Oh, the hand of God wasn't good enough for them. They wanted the desires, the lusts of their own flesh. Oh, dear friends, these things are left on record to teach us not to keep to our own ways, but to cast all our care upon Him. Commit, says David, all thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. Dear friends, spiritually to close with, there are many devices in a man's heart. And dear friends, there always will be in your heart and my heart. In our flesh we shall be sinners to our dying day. Oh, nothing can cleanse our earthly hearts and minds from that which we were born with and the exercise of our flesh. No, even though under the influence of the Spirit, where the Lord has taught us that we are sinners before God, we still sin, don't we? We still turn aside to our own ways. All our righteousness is as filthy rags in before God, and we're all as an unclean thing. Oh, can an unclean fountain bring forth clean water? No. In the flesh we shall die because of sin. And it's appointed for us all once to die. But the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand for His people. Dear friends, that counsel will be what Christ hath done. It is finished. Love's redeeming work is done. I have paid the price for all of their sins. And they shall not perish, but they shall have everlasting life. The counsel of the Lord, who gave His only begotten Son. Yes, to die, the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, to take away the sin of the world, the worldly sinfulness of their own, of His own people's hearts. Dear friends, it's the only way, isn't it? That's the way everlasting. And we need to be taught that way. There's many devices in our hearts which will lead us another way. But the counsel of the Lord, it shall stand. Kept by the faith, through faith, by the power of God, unto salvation, the day when we stand before the judgment seat, to be saved from the wrath of eternal damnation, saved to enter into the heavenly kingdom through what Christ has done for our souls, paid the price for our sins. Oh, dear friends, what a word that is, to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, help me. Always be continually in prayer, shall we? Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way that is everlasting. Well, dear friends, may the Lord rule our hearts by His Spirit. Keep us very much in prayer, trusting in Him at all times. Pouring out our heart before Him. He is a refuge for us. The refuge for the forgiveness of sins. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. It is found in the merits of Jesus alone, our only hope. Then, dear friends, what's the exhortation? Consider our ways. Commune with our own hearts, yes, upon our beds, as the scripture says. Commune with the Lord. Desire to do His will. The desire of a man, dear friends, from his heart, are very deceitful. There are many devices in a man's heart, but those for whom the Lord died, His counsel shall stand. They're mine, they're forever mine. I've loved them with an everlasting love. With loving kindness I've drawn them. They've come unto me. I will not cast out. I will raise them up at the last day. Dear friends, until that day, Our constant prayer surely will be, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Teach me thy ways. Lead me in the path that is everlasting, kept unto that solemn day of judgment, when, oh, to be forever with the Lord. That's his counsel. I shall lose nothing. All that the Father hath given me, not one of them shall be lost. What a divine counsel that is. Then, dear friends, as I often finish, don't I? Trust in him at all times, ye people. God is a refuge for us. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.